Welcome to the No Filter Targeted Podcast. I am your host, Ronnie Cook. Today, I have another fabulous photographer. He is out of Houston, Katy area, and he does a lot of low light photography. So, please help me welcome Alex Santiago.
Everybody, I am here with Mr. Alex Santiago. I knew I was going to do that. How are you doing, Mr. Alex?
I'm doing great. How do you do?
I'm pretty good. Can you tell the audience a little more about yourself?
About?
Just you in general.
Oh, about me? No, I'm just a photographer. I come from Puerto Rico, and I'm residing now in Houston. Traveled around the world and just been photographing for approximately 12 years now.
Wow. So how did you get into start doing photography?
I started doing photography from playing a game called geocaching. And it's like using satellites with a GPS to find little treasure boxes around the forest. And it took me to very beautiful places, and I decided I needed a camera. And from there, it just went all downhill. I started learning about taking nature photography. Then when I moved from Colorado to Houston, there's no landscape here, so I had to learn how to photograph people. And from there, it just went, it went haywire. Now I'm using flash, I'm using lighting, natural light, artificial light. And I found out that I do have a knack photographing people, making people really feel empowered after the photo shoot.
That's pretty cool. And if you want to, I will suggest if you ever want to do landscaping, come out to the country or Fredericksburg. The hill country is very beautiful out there.
Mm-hmm. I've been there and I've enjoyed it. The only thing is that living in Colorado, you get pampered.
You get spoiled. Oh, I bet. With all those mountains.
Exactly.
And yes.
Hiking up the mountains, hiking up 2-3 miles in just to find a beautiful lake and take pictures of it. It's wonderful.
Wow. I've never been there. I would love to travel there, but I've never been there. So I'll have to put that on my list, my bucket list.
Okay. trust me, you will thoroughly enjoy it.
Awesome. What kind of camera did you start out with?
Funny that you say. I started out with a Canon T1, and from there, because I wanted to learn so much, I destroyed it within 6 months, and I had the shutter assembly rebuilt by Canon. And I did that twice.
Really?
Because I wanted to practice. I wanted to understand how the camera worked. And I still have the T1 because they replaced it the second time and sent me a letter saying that they're not going to replace anymore. From there, I went to a Canon 7D. And then I purchased the 7D Mark II when it came out. And now is the Canon 5D Mark IV. I have all four cameras. They all work. And I still use them, which is really funny.
Which one do you think that you use the most?
It's a toss-up between the Canon 7D Mark II and the 5D Mark IV.
So I would say those are two of your favorites.
Yes, they are.
How did you get into doing photography?
Because of all the beautiful places that I was traveling by. I mean, in the military, I traveled around the world. So I've been to Okinawa, been to Thailand, been to Germany, Kuwait, Iraq. You know, and you see things that you wish you had a camera for.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, playing the geocaching game took me to very beautiful landscapes in state parks, national parks, and everything. And I ended up buying a camera and taking those pictures. when I finally met a person that could teach me to shoot nature photography, I fell in love with it.
And you fell in love with photography just in general?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. So, two things. I want to thank you for your service, first off. And what is the best place, or what can I say, is what is your favorite place have you gone to be able to take pictures?
Ooh, that's rough.
Okay. We'll do this way. What's your top three?
My top three would be Crystal Mills in Colorado. That's in Marble, Colorado. To get there, you have to take a tour, or you have to hike up about 4 miles up in the mountains. The second place would be Maroon Bells in Aspen, Colorado. You take the Maroon Bells Road, follow it all the way till it stops. You're going to get into a parking lot, and 150 yards from there, you see the Maroon Bells and Maroon Lake, and you can take a beautiful picture at sunrise with nice reflection off the lake. And the third place, it would have to be in Tennessee at Falls State Park, and it's a state park that has a lot of waterfalls, and there's one at the entrance that is really beautiful, especially at sunrise in September. Start changing color.
Really? Excuse me. That last one sounds pretty darn cool.
And I do have a picture of it. I mean, for the first time I went there, and I shot that one with my T1i.
Mm-hmm.
It's really funny because you know how the sound of water can put people to sleep?
Yes.
I fell asleep for about 20 minutes. Camera and everything was still all over the place.
And what? Nobody
took anything.
Wow.
Nobody took anything. I'm like, wow, this is really nice.
Right? That's pretty cool. I mean, it's not pretty cool, but it's pretty cool that, you know, you're able to, you know, the sound of the water made you fall asleep and for at least 20 minutes, and all your cameras still there, and, you know, you're just ready to go.
I was just laughing about it. I'm like, wow, somebody would have walked away with it. I can't get angry about it.
Yeah, it's that darn water.
Exactly.
Oh, that would've been
the most expensive nap.
Right? I bet it would have. So, I remember asking you, you said you specialize in low-key lighting photography.
Yes, sir.
Can you go into a little more detail for people that are just getting into photography on what that exactly is, please?
Okay. Low-key photography is a type of photography where shadows dominate the image, right? It used to be a very big style back in the early 60s. And with the advancement of digital camera, a lot of people didn't want to have shadows unless really photographers that transition from film to but then I saw it and I loved it because it's black and white images and people can get distracted with color from any image, and the color will make the image look nice even though the image may not be of a high quality image.
Mm-hmm.
With black and white and low key, the model has to bring, or the subject has to have the expression. The photographer has to capture that expression, and with lighting done the right way, you can bring up some very, very strong emotions. It's very personal. And when you take one of those low-key lighting images, it's very, very personal, and it just holds you to look at it for a long period of time.
That sounds pretty cool. How did you exactly get into doing the low key lighting? I mean, you said that you done landscape and doing nature. I mean, that's a bunch of color. How did you go from the color to do the low light photography?
It was very, very interesting because it was by accident. people like to take pictures and make the black background,
mm-hmm.
you know, and only the subject would be lit. And I accidentally did that with natural light. Everything was black except for them where the light was hitting them. And I'm like, wow, this is really nice. And a person came up and said, yeah, that's a really good low-key shot. And I'm like, low-key, okay, let me take a look at what this is. And after reading everything, it was one of those things that I did, I liked. And also, I like going to the Renaissance Festival a lot. And sometimes you ask people to take their photos. And sometimes they say no. And I would come up and tell them, well, if I make everything, you see, it's all bright daylight right now. If I make everything black except for you on the pictures, will you let me take the pictures then? And they would bet with me and end up seeing the picture like that. And spending like about 15, 20 minutes with me getting pictures taken.
Wow. That is pretty cool. So, well, I know you said it's by accident, but I think kind of every photographer that takes a picture, I think 95% of it is by accident, you know, just clicking it at the right time by accident, and the picture comes out better than you think it does.
I would agree with you on that.
Yeah, I've had that cut a couple times, even with my phone. But I do use a camera, but I do use my phone. I don't know, just these smartphones now are, the camera on them are just about as good as one of the cameras that, you know, you hold in a professional photographer's hand, like you see at the baseball games and stuff like that. But you don't think so?
No. I do agree. Smartphones cameras are becoming more sophisticated. I mean, to the point that you can do you can do blurred motions.
Yes.
You can do portrait modes and everything. But even though those are all are presets within the camera that is designed to do that, you get really good pictures. And even with DSLRs, because with DSLR, applying the skills to do it. There's times that an image can be the same everything, and they're equally beautiful enough to stand against each other.
And you get where some people are like, okay, you tell them, okay, which one did I take with my camera and which one did I take with my phone? And half the time people don't even, you know, like, oh man, they're both, you know, they're both look the same. They both look amazing, and they can't tell which one's which.
Exactly.
So, I know I just got this is kind of off topic, but I just got the new 22 Galaxy Ultra, and I wanted to test out the camera on it, and I took a picture of the moon. And when I took the picture of it, I was like, man, it just, when it clicks the image and then you can kind of like review it and then it goes away. I was like, man, I kind of saw it and I was like, oh man, this is not going to look like I wanted it to. But when I went into the photos, man, I tell you what, it looks amazing how I was able to capture the moon in the morning as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So how did your very first photo session go?
My very first photo session. That's a funny one because you photographers, when they improve, they go back and look at the photo session, right? And they're ashamed of it because the skills improve. But I look at my first photo session and I'm still in awe about it. Okay. So my first photo session was, I had a coworker at my office, and after 2 years, finally convinced her to come up and be a subject. And we dressed her up in a kimono and with a samurai sword. And it was really nice. And the thing about it is, it was the first time I was using studio lights. Right. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. I'm going to put the light this way. I'm going to do this. Here we are. We measure the light, take the picture. Oh my God. this is beautiful. Okay, we got this. So we started doing a whole bunch of things. And the photo session, we went and got about 500 pictures. From that, we cut it down to 250. And from that, we cut it down to 600 photo album. So it was a very, very well done photo session. And I enjoyed it.
That is awesome. And so, all right, so you said you took 500 pictures and you took it down to 250 and then you took it down to 60. So what's the process you take where you choose what photos to choose?
Okay, a lot of times when a photographer gets in the moment, as we say, they shoot and shoot and shoot, but they don't pay attention to certain things. Hand position, eye position, things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Come up and make the picture not as strong, right? So because we shot 500 pictures, we had a couple of those that had mistakes. After we eliminated the mistakes, then we came up and started looking at the pictures. Okay, which one has a more powerful story behind? So that's how come we got to 250, from 250 we got to 60, and we came up and put it all in an album. And that was together, the photographer and the model together.
Oh. It's always, it's always good to have another set of eyes as well.
Exactly.
Do you usually have an assistant with you while you're doing these photo shoots?
Always.
Always?
Always, because of the subject matter, that I do, I've required to have an assistant, and the assistant is always a female assistant.
Yeah.
Because I shoot women, female models, and I do anything from portraits all the way to artistic nudes.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have either one or two female assistants with me.
It's always good to also make your subject comfortable as well.
Yes. And the reason is that to make them comfortable. And there's always, and okay, so let me go over what my photo session is.
Right? Okay.
So if we come up and I invite a model to come up and do, like, say, a implied nude shoot,
mm-hmm.
the model will come in. I always ask the model to bring an escort. Okay, if the model doesn't bring an escort, we're not shooting. I will always have one to two female assistants. If I don't have an assistant, or my assistant come up and back out, I would have to call the model and cancel the shoot. Now, once the model arrives, we come down and we talk about what we're going to do during the shoot. My assistants are also photographers. So at any time if the model feels uncomfortable with me taking the pictures, I can always step out and let my assistant finish up the shoot. Right. The other thing is that I always tell the model that we're going to have 5 feet of distance. I will never cross that 5 feet to her. And any pictures that she needs to see is going to be displayed on a big, large screen TV, because I tether my camera to the TV. So when I take the picture, she sees the picture and sees what kind of images we're getting. And if there's anything to correct, I would come up and point at the TV, telling her, we need to move your hand this way, or we need to move your face this way, or twist your body this way in order for us to improve the picture. After we're done, at any time, if she's walking around or anything, or in a break and everything, I have them put on a robe, and I always turn my back to them whenever they're changing. Or they would be put on a robe and go into the changing room and stay in the changing room. Now, at the end of the whole photo shoot, before we leave, we sit down with the model and have the model pick out the amount of images that we agreed upon for her, right? And that way I know what images she wants. I process and I deliver exactly what I promised.
Exactly. And oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh no. I mean, because that's one of the things that I want them to have. I want them to have the freedom to choose the images they like. If I have any other images that I like and I work on them, I will give them that image too.
Yeah.
We're working on a project. We're not working on a paid shoot. You know, it's yes, there's payment and all that stuff, but the project includes the images that's going to be either used for them personally or if it's going to be published in a magazine or things like that.
Exactly. And photographers that are beginning to doing photography, I would like for y'all to take notes about that to make sure, you know, you don't have to do it exactly how Mr. Alex said, but, you know, do it in a certain way to make sure your subject is comfortable. And if just so happens any models that are listening, you know, take some notes on how he does it and make sure the photographer you choose somewhat does that all what, you know, Mr. Alice has said. So, go ahead.
And because the reason for this is when I do shoots, it's a collaboration. It's a collaboration between the model and myself. I come up and approach the model with a production book. The production book tells them what the story is, gives them sample posing, explains everything from the studio location to what they should wear and everything for the photo shoot. But I send them the production book, they read it, and then we set up so that we can come up and go over and agree to, hey, can you do this pose? No? All right, we'll scratch that one. You know, so that when we do the shoot, there's nothing out of what we agreed that's going to happen. You know, that way the model's not going to expect to, if she's coming for a certain shoot, she's not going to be asked to do something that was not agreed upon.
Kind of like a contract.
Yeah, it's more of a guide. The production book is going to be a guide.
Mm-hmm.
And once the agreement is done, you know, we're going to shoot what's in the production book. For example, yeah. If I have a model that's coming up and doing a shoot with you, right, and we're doing implied nudes, then the model wants to do a nude, right? That's a different story. We would have to come up, stop the photo shoot, talk about it, make sure that this is what she wants, and then we'll do it. But I will never come up and tell the model, well, can you remove this part, the strap in this way to show a little bit more of this? That's not agreed upon. We don't do that.
Mm-hmm. Just you're more professional than most.
Well, it's more of looking at the model not as an object and more of a person, because, you know, a lot of them get objectified, and I don't like that. I mean, they when they come to a shoot, and the type of shooting that I do, they're a work of art, yes, but they're not. Oh, how do you say this? They're not enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have feelings. And the more comfortable they are, the feelings will be better, the more satisfied they'll be with the picture. And what I want them to see is something different, a different point of view about themselves, that they come in feeling one way and they leave feeling even better about themselves.
Yes. So when you do have models come in, I'm sure this happens probably 90% of the time where they come in and then are they, how can you say, like stiff when you can tell when you take their photos, are they like, you know, kind of stiff? How do you loosen them like up?
Come up and as a matter of fact, just by telling jokes and having them talk to me. When they're working with somebody new, they are stiff and everything else, but as they come up and they start seeing, one of the things that can make them feel very stiff is when they start seeing the photographer come bring up the camera and show them the picture, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they don't like the picture. Right? Now with me, because I have it tethered on a large screen TV, they get to see what I'm doing, and they get to see which direction the photo is going. You know,
yeah.
If there's anything, they can have their input saying, I don't like how my face looks over here. Okay, so then let's correct it this way. You know, because I can, because sometimes models have the experience, but the experience that they have doesn't go in line with the tradition of the photographer's doing. So the photographer will take the picture and the model will see it, and then he's like, well, I don't know. Let's do it this way. Let me, you know, I'm making the movement that I'm moving your chin. I'm moving it this way. I'm going to bring it down. I want you to close your eyes or think of something dream. And then when I take a picture and they look at it, then they really love it, right? I want them to put their, to give me their input. And then I just come up and fine tune what they gave me in order to make it look really, really pretty.
Make it really, really pretty in the way that they want it as well.
Exactly. And when they see it, it's like, wow. I mean, like in the first session, when I took the first test shot, the first session I did, and I took the first test shot, because my coworker is a very gorgeous woman, right? But she never felt that way. But when she saw the first picture on the screen, and she just stopped and she just went, is that me? I'm like, yes. And she goes, now I see I'm hot. You know, and from then on, the whole photo shoot just went really smooth. Yeah.
Oh, I bet that's the best. When they say like that, I bet that's the best feeling you get.
Oh yeah, because a lot of women always see themselves through the eyes of other people.
Mm-hmm.
They compare themselves, right? And sometimes they don't. They see themselves so many times that a lot of times they're jaded to themselves, right? But when they see a picture that makes them look like really outstanding, they're like, "Oh wow, I am beautiful," you know. And that's what I want to do. I want them to understand that no matter who you are, no matter your body shape, no matter where you come from, right? I was always told by my mother, and it is true. Traveling around the world, I've seen every woman is beautiful. If the person that's serving them is not looking at them as they really are, then those person are the ones that miss out on the beauty that everybody has.
I do agree. So... what do you think has improved since you started doing photography, and what do you think still needs to be improved?
Lighting. It's all lighting. and the reason why I say that is that a lot of things that I do, lighting is the most key important part, because I can talk with the model and I can highlight the features that she wants to highlight with light. I can hide the features that she doesn't want to show with shadows, right?
So
dealing with light, what type of light am I going to use for a photo shoot? Let's say if I'm going to grab somebody that belongs to a motorcycle club and I use soft light on that person, it's going to get laughed at, right? Now, if I get right hard light, grungy look and everything, the person's going to love it because it makes them look like a tough guy, right? If I can use that type of light on a woman and she's not cosplaying or she's not an evil person, right, then it's not going to make the person look good. Now, if you use really nice soft light that makes her skin glow, right, and you come up and with shadows, you make their features more curvier or more slimmer, right, they're really going to love it. So lighting is one of these things that I've improved, and I'll never stop improving. It's a constant thing. Now, if I'm going on storytelling, I'm a very technical photographer. Now I have to work on the storytelling portion of it. Okay. So that's the biggest thing for every photographer, is like, you're going to find a style, and you're going to keep improving on the style, but also challenge yourself to show something with that style.
You know,
make a story of it. And I do that a lot with people in the Renaissance Festival, because they're characters. I'm not shooting people. I'm shooting a character. So I have to have the character in the right setting for me to tell a story.
That's true.
I'm not going to have a pirate inside a Greek mausoleum, you know? That doesn't work.
No.
Like in the forest, like a Caribbean island or something like that. Wow. You know, we got that. If I got it at a beach, perfect. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's true, though. You're not going to have, like, a baseball player if you're shooting a baseball player out there on the 50-yard line on a football field.
Exactly.
So, what would you say, how long did it take you to find the how can I say it? How long did it take you to get the lighting down? A couple photo shoots, practicing, you know, every day?
Not via photo shoots, more experimentation. You know, I started by, it's really funny because I started with two speed lights, and now in speed lights, you know, on-camera flashes.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to take that on-camera flash off. Then I went from two speed lights to four, from four to 12, you know, and so I have 12 speed lights that I use. I also have four studio strobes that I use in the studio, and I also have four pocket strobes, 200 watts each, that I take with me everywhere so that I can do a photo shoot whenever anybody wants it. But I just started buying more light. The thing is, for me to learn how to use light was coming up and grabbing little small figures and lighting them and seeing how, if I put the light this way, what am I going to get? If I put it this way, what am I going to get? And then go into something bigger and bigger and bigger until I came up and said, you know what, let me photograph somebody. You know, and then from there, it's just like, all right, let's find people. And it's really funny because a couple of years ago, I was begging people to shoot with and I couldn't find anybody. Now, I can ask people and they'll agree to come up and shoot with me. And I really enjoy it. Because they've seen the kind of work that I do, right?
And yeah.
Just practicing lighting. Just practicing lighting the whole time.
It used to be, oh, will you please, you know, hey, let me take your photos. Please, please. Now it's the opposite. Oh, please, please. Can you take my photos? Can you take my photos?
Not like that, because I still have to sell the concept. But it's a lot it's easier now. And when somebody already took a When somebody has taken a picture with me, you know, then they also, when I
come word of mouth. Them,
yeah, word of mouth. But when I contact them again, it's like, hey, I got a concept that you will fit. And they're like, okay, when do you want to do it? You know, so it's become a lot easier to be able to set up photo shoots. When COVID came, I shot 39 sessions out of a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even, you know, during COVID, and then and I try to shoot almost every other Saturday if possible.
You know? Wow. So I know you're doing low light photography. Do you still travel around Houston and take any landscape photography still?
No, not in Houston. I go to Galveston. I take pictures there in Galveston. I take pictures in San Luis Pass. I go to Austin, take pictures there. I'm going to start heading out over to the College Station area.
I'm from Houston, but I live in College Station or okay. Bryan area. So if you ever need, I mean, I'm not too familiar with the place, but I can kind of show you some if you ever come up here.
Okay.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because everybody, because of my low key stuff, pictures. A lot of people believe that I only do low key, and no, I still do other things.
Oh yeah.
And I still shoot outdoors. I still shoot indoors. I shoot in industrial settings. You know, and now it's just like a combination of both artificial light and natural light to make a story. So it's really a lot of fun. So I would travel to different places to do these shoots.
That's awesome. So, okay, so you talked about your lighting. And you talked about, you know, you just bought more, you know, a couple of these lights, a couple more of those lights. What was your first light that you bought to start doing that?
I bought two Yanos YN586s. And they were just nice lights.
Do you still use them?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I do.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, they're not. And I mean, a lot of people have complaints about the Yanos because they're cheap lights. If I would buy the Canon equivalents, I'm paying $300 per light. With the Yanos, I'm $50. So if it breaks, I lost $50. If the Canon one breaks, I lost $300.
I agree. And I also think that when you buy that Canon $300 light, you're buying a light, but you're buying the what it says on the light, Canon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just true. Like that is just like anything, like the Apple, you know, Apple Watch, Apple iPad. You're buying the iPad, but you're buying the Apple or the Samsung. Yes. Uh-huh. That cost, that darn logo cost like $1,000.
Yeah. And the thing about it is that all the speed lights I do have are all Yanos. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're all Yanos. I went from the Yano 586s to the Yano 560s, which are totally manual lights. And that's the one I go to the Renaissance Festival with. I got Yano's YN600s that are like similar to the Canon Canon 600 EXRTs, right? So those are all my lighting. And the funny thing is that I make them communicate to each other.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I can use all 12 lights at one spot.
That is pretty cool.
But you usually see me walking around. Let's see, if you go to the Renaissance Festival, you see me walking around with a stick that has a circle on it. And on the circle, I got four speed lights on it to make a large light so I can take soft pictures without using an umbrella. Yeah. And then Renaissance Festival, everybody knows me because they see the stick. They see me with my red Marine Corps veteran hat. And mm-hmm. stop for me to take pictures of them.
Did you come up with that idea by yourself with the circle with the four speed lights?
I did it. I came up with the four speed lights because the device exists.
Mm-hmm. Right?
But the thing is, I started with the Westcott triple threat, and the Westcott triple threat holds only three lights. If I had a fourth light, it would be better because then I have a big circle of light. Because when you pop that light is additive. So if you use one flash and you're using it at full power, I would have to use all four flashes to a quarter power to get the same amount of light you're getting.
Oh.
I'm using less battery than
you. Yeah.
And during the Renaissance festivals, I get there at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm photographing people around the gate area and everything. And I leave there about four in the afternoon, and I don't have to change my battery.
Huh.
So I shoot a whole day off of one set of batteries with those four lights.
Now that is pretty impressive.
Right. And I've been doing that now for 6 years.
Huh.
It's a very good place to go. For any beginning photographers, if you want to photograph people, right, and you can't find a model, go to the Renaissance Festival. Because those people come up and put so much time into their gear, into their costumes and everything, that they're willing to get photographed. And here's another thing. You don't have to have a model agreement, but I do suggest to ask politely, because the back of the tickets always say that the people that purchase this ticket is aware that they are going to be photographed.
I didn't know it said that on the back.
Yes, it does. It's a whole photography release. By buying that ticket, you accept that term. So when a photographer comes up and takes a picture of you, the photographer doesn't have to come up and give you a model release.
Huh. That's good to know.
But it's always polite to come up and ask the person, may I take a picture?
Yes. Yes. And for new photographers, I know you're going to be scared, but the worst thing that they can say is no.
Exactly.
So it's kind of like, you know, back in high school, you want to ask that girl to prom or whatever, the dance. And thinking back now is, you know, the worst thing that she could say is no. So, and then if they say no, just move on to the next one. Out of 10 people, you're probably going to get at least 3 or 4 of them to say yes.
Oh, yes.
So what have you learned since you started doing photography?
I've learned to be able to talk to people in different ways. You know, you get to meet people in this industry and you see different ideas, how they work and how they think and everything also. But I also get to learn that even all supermodels are human beings. And they have their problems, the same as we do and everything else. So being able to talk with them and to relate with them in a certain level makes photo shoot to become very, very easy, right? And that's the biggest skill that I got out of it, because I have to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it makes you socialize. It's not the same thing as being on the phone, sending a text to this person, sending a text to this other person. No. You're there in front of them and you're dealing with personal feelings, interactions, and nothing else. So it makes me mix sometimes get out of my shell.
Yeah.
I have one, you know?
Some days you do, some days you don't.
Oh, yeah. Because sometimes you see a person and it's like, how am I going to ask that person that I want to photograph them without sounding like a creeper?
Right?
And I've done it before. At the gym, I started taking fitness pictures of people, right? And I go to the person, and Tom is a very good bodybuilder. And believe me, his low-key pictures were wonderful. And I've got a couple of them published. The thing about it is that when I approached Tom, I'm like, hey, I want to take your picture. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, okay, let me back up. I'm a photographer. And your fitness, you know, your bodybuilder and everything. And I got an idea to take pictures of you. Have you ever gotten your picture done professionally? No. The only thing I've gotten is run on stage and so I'm going to shoot this in the studio. And after talking with him, we went and he went over there to the studio and the photo session from the first to the big screen. He's like, okay. Now I know you're not crazy and you're not a creeper. But it's sad because it's finding a way to approach a person correctly or in a way that you can break the ice to make that person feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you learn how to read people.
So
and that tells a lot.
Yeah. So on the like to greet people and ask them on, you know, to take their photograph. Can you give a couple tips about for that?
All right. When you come up, if this is like in the Renaissance Festival,
mm-hmm.
The person asking, hey, I really like your costume. Would you mind if I take a picture of you? Right. And a lot of times they'll come up and you might get those that come up and ask you, what are you going to use the picture for? Oh, it's for just a collection, or you can tell them what you really want to do with the picture. 9 out of 10 times I publish it back into the Renaissance Festival Friends Facebook page. So then they can go over there and be able to download the picture, right? Or they give me their information, I send it to them. But most of it is coming up and asking them, you know, may I be able. And if they say no, just, okay, thank you for your time. You know, the other thing is when you're doing this, present yourself. If you have a business card, give them the business card, right? Because they're going to see the business card. Anybody can have business cards nowadays. But if you have a picture of your work on your business card, you know, they can see that, and they're going to come up and say, "You took this picture?" Yes. And they might, if you have a QR code, because I have a QR code on mine, I'll take them to my website, and they'll be able to see everything that I do, right? And when they start looking through the pictures, they're like, "Oh, yeah, then I would like to do that." But present yourself and come up and let them know that you want to do the pictures and for what it would be. Or get to know them, get to present yourself and say, "Hey, have you ever been photographed by a professional photographer or by an advanced skill photographer? You know, because I would like to take a photo of you." And don't get angry. Don't get your feelings hurt or anything when they say no. You know, because it's their choice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after that, it works and it becomes easier, and you don't come across as a person that is a creep or anything, but just present yourself first. "Hi, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a photographer, and I would really like to come up and do a picture with you." Yeah. And 9 out of 10 times, they'll come up and say yes.
I feel like also, you know, be prepared where if I walk up to you, Alex, and say, you know, "Hey, I'm a photographer, can I take your picture?" And you say yes, already have your camera ready. Don't, you know, have to dig through your bag to get, you know, the right lens that you feel that's going to work, or to, you know, pop in the SIM card and pop in your camera real quick, have everything ready to go. And that kind of helps if you have your, I feel like if you have your camera in your hand, and you say, "Hey, I'm a photographer. Can I take your picture?" I think that helps them, you know, feel a little more comfortable and to be able to take their picture.
Exactly.
So, so what do you use to edit your photos?
I use Lightroom first. I do all my color changes and shading and everything else in Lightroom. And then if there's anything else that needs to be detailed, removes, like a signpost or something like that, or I need to soften the skin or anything like that, then I go into Photoshop. I use a combination of both.
Mm.
But most of my work, about 90% of my work is done within Lightroom. 10% of my work is done in Photoshop.
Did you start using Lightroom in the beginning?
No, I did not. As a matter of fact, I started with Photoshop because everybody said, you know, you got to use Photoshop. I spent the $1,400 on a Photoshop license for Photoshop 4. And I found that the most thing that I was using is Adobe Camera Raw, which is the raw editor. And when somebody pointed it out to me, though, "If you use Adobe Camera Raw, why don't you use Lightroom?" All right, there's a good question. I came up, spend the $75 on Lightroom and saw everything that it did. And I'm like, why haven't I used this?
You're questioning yourself.
Exactly. And now I do Lightroom for catalog and everything that I do. Because thinning the pictures. Curating the pictures, which ones I want to keep, which one I don't want to keep. Then processing them overall, and then in Photoshop I do the detail things. Yeah, and I've gotten so familiar with Lightroom that I created presets, I create catalogs, I create smart catalogs. With smart catalogs, it's like having different, like say I go around the world taking pictures of red barns, right? And I create the catalog saying I want you to collect only the red barns. It doesn't move it or anything, but it locates all of my pictures with red barns.
Oh.
If I come up and go, I want only all my Colorado pictures. Because if I look right now, I think I got 100,000 pictures.
Wow.
Right? And for me to find something in there, I'm like, I am not going to spend my time. Let me do this. So keywording is very important. So now if I'm looking for Renaissance pictures, all I got to type in the keyword attribute, Renaissance, and all of the pictures from Renaissance will show up. And now I can go looking for the person that I'm looking for.
Yeah. Wow. Do you do the Renaissance and then like the year as well?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So I go to three Renaissance festivals. I go to Scarabeau Fair. I go to Sherwood Forest. And I also go to the Texas Renaissance Festival.
So if I was somebody looking to get into doing photography and looking to buy, you know, a camera and some gear, would you recommend them buying a new camera, like going to Best Buy, Walmart, Target, and buying a new camera and gear, or a used camera, or going somewhere, you know, a photo shop, not photo, you know what I mean, and buying a used camera and used gear?
First thing before I send them to do that, I would come up and tell them, sit down and analyze what you really want to do, right? Because that will determine what camera you're going to get. Right now, if I come up and tell you that I'm using my 5D Mark IV the most, that when it came out was a $4,000 camera. But because I bought an entry level and an advanced kit, advanced camera, and then a professional level camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
I gotta add those costs also to the value of that camera, because I went through these three other cameras, and I outskilled them, right? So mm-hmm. And essentially, I spent a total of $9,000 on the camera.
Just the camera alone.
Just on camera alone, you know. And if I would have known that, I would have spent the $9,000 on a freaking Leica or Hasselblad and gotten over with it. And I mean, those are really good cameras, you know. And I always tell my friend that has one, and he wants to take a photo with it. I'm like, nope, I'll never get it back from you. I'm being honest with him. And we joke around about that a lot. But the whole thing is that those are very beautiful cameras, very, very wonderful quality, right? But if I come up and buy that one camera, now I got $18,000 invested on a camera. But I want the photographer to sit down and really, really think about what they want to do. Are they going to do it for a business? Are they going to do it for portraits? Are they going to do it for landscapes? Or are they going to do it for safari? Because that will determine which camera to get. Because not all cameras work the same way, right? And are you really going to do it seriously enough that you're going to advance? So I'm going to say you want to get an intermediate camera, because you're going to grow into it. And with the intermediate camera, it's still advanced enough. You can do professional shoots with it if you're going to make money with them. So the first thing is knowing what's your intent. Because I'll tell you this, real funny. One thing that I've never wanted to do was photograph people.
Really?
Never. The purpose of me buying a camera was for me to hike all over the mountains in the Rocky Mountains and take beautiful pictures of nature. Right? Moving to Houston forced me to learn how to photograph people. And I find that I do like it, but I never wanted to photograph people.
That wasn't your number one choice.
Exactly. Right? Now, you get some people, and I'm going to joke around. I'm really going to joke around about this. And any photographers listen to this, if you feel offended, I'm sorry, but it's not so intended, right? A lot of photographers will come up and buy the camera and go, I'm going to take pictures of a very beautiful woman and bikini and all this stuff. And the real funny thing is that they end up being the best landscape photographers, because they couldn't get pictures of models. Now, it's not easy to get into shooting models and dealing with personalities, right? And I never intended on shooting models. Guess what I'm doing? So the joke's on me, right? Well, the real thing is study what you want to, which, you know, make a self-study, find out what you really want to do, and then look at a camera that's intermediate. If all you're going to do is landscape and everything else, you know, you can go either way. But if you're intending on going and making a living out of it, really study and go from an intermediate to, or pay for that camera. Learn how to use it, right? Because anybody that buys a professional camera, if you don't know how to shoot, your pictures are still going to show that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you learn how to use the equipment, your pictures are going to improve in very, very fast. And you're going to be able to use that camera to its full features.
I agree. And so, do you have... Okay, so if you can go back to your 12 years ago and tell yourself in the beginning, you know, don't have to worry about this, or what would you tell yourself now? Like, oh, how can I say it? I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So what would you tell yourself 12 years ago? You know, not to worry about, or, you know, about doing photography, you know, keep with it, or, you know, you're going to do, you know, to use this camera, or, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand. And the biggest thing I would tell myself, and it's not what you expect, learn how to run a business.
Has that been the hardest part of doing photography?
That is the hardest part, because you have photographers that are excellent and don't know the business sense of it, and they start as professional photographers and end up not making any money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you have some photographers that have not many skills, but they're making a lot of money because they know how to run the business. Right? That's on the business side. But on the photography side, what I would say is, you know, learn how to use the equipment. Really, really learn how to use the equipment. I mean, I already know how to use the equipment and everything. But if I would have spent those first 7 years, right, learning how to really use the equipment, including lighting, God knows where I'm going to be at with my skills now.
So do you think you'd still be where you're at now?
I would be a bit further. I would be a bit further. And what I mean by a bit further is, now, like I told you, I'm a very technical photographer.
Mm-hmm.
Posing a person is wonderful, but when it comes to movements, capturing movements and capturing stories, that's where I'm lacking. Because I'm more of a... How do you say it? Left brain than right brain.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to get that balanced in order for me to be able to take my photography to the next level. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can take scenery. I can take characters and everything else. But to tell a story with one shot or two shots, that's a skill. And that's a skill I want to work on.
Speaking of the business side, if you don't mind, can you talk a little more for somebody that's wanting to start out doing photography, and it's not, you know, you have to look at both sides. You just can't look at the photography side and to start a business. Can you talk a little more about the business side?
I'm not going to be a good person to do that. Because I'm the photographer that has the skill and not a lot of business sense.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah. And that's the reason why I say that. You know, get more of the business sense for it.
Because, oh, yeah.
When somebody comes up and tells me, okay, how much do you charge for a session? Right? A lot of people are looking for a bargain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And there's a lot of people that will buy a camera and go, well, I can give you 100 photos on a CD or 100 photos in a flash drive, you know, for $50. But then the person paying $50 for those photos and they might not be edited or anything, what quality of photos they're getting. But the person sees that, hey, $50, 100 photos, I'm going to go with this guy. Now you go to a person like me that I'm guaranteeing every picture that I'm going to give them are very high quality. They can be printed. They can be in a digital format and everything else, right? And the prices are different. An 8x10 done by a very, very good photographer, right, printed and everything, can come up to about $50 to $150 depending on what they're shooting, you know. And yeah, people will see $50 for their pictures, $150 for one picture.
You know?
Where's this? But is the big thing is having the quality of the image.
Yeah.
And being able to sell that portion. Yeah. Because making a business with volume work is easy. But what's going to be your bottom line? For example, I do a photo shoot for 2 hours. I shot the 100 pictures. Out of those 100 pictures, I edit 20 or 30 of them because that's what I promised the client, right? You got to take a look at when you're doing the business. You got to take a look, how much did your gear cost? Because you have to depreciate the gear. How far am I traveling to do this? Especially now with the gasoline prices.
Oh, exactly. I agree totally right there.
Right, because if you're driving 100 miles to do a photo shoot, and you're not charging mileage, and honestly, you should be 60 cents a mile, you know, you're wasting money there. But look at this, right? You're charging $125 for an hour shoot, right? Okay, $125, and you're giving them 20 seconds. Let's break it down by time. Interviewing, talking with the client to set up the shoot. That takes time. You can do 1 or 2 hours doing that, right? Traveling, that's your time also. Shooting, 1 hour, okay? Now, you come up and you take your time that you edit. And if you're editing and you do some heavy editing, you know, you're looking 2 hours to 3 hours, right? Looking at 6 hours for $125. Divide the $125 by the 6 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And you might end up doing barely minimum wage.
Yeah.
You see, so is that your end game? Yeah. Or do you want to get the quality of clients that will pay for what you're doing? Right? Because like say a person that does headshot and they're really, really good at headshots can come up and do $125 in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You know? And if you do this for 1 hour and you have 4 clients set up at $125, use just $500 in 1 hour, and you already edit the pictures because they're looking for three to five images. You don't have to do anything more than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you have to sell them.
Yeah, that's just like for the realtors when they just want headshots.
Mm-hmm. Or lawyers.
Yeah.
Or corporates. You know,
yeah.
You just need to find that door and you just need to have it all set. Because when I do headshots, right, I do charge for travel. I do charge if they come to my studio, I don't charge them the travel and I don't charge them the studio, you know, the studio setup, right? Which is mm-hmm. which is a good advantage because they save like about 60%. Right? Now, if I have to travel, I will travel. I will charge them the studio setup fee, and then I'll charge them more fee. And all they're getting is 5 images, lightly retouched. Which right now, with all the stuff that I have with Lightroom, and maybe a plugin or two, I'll have their images done in 15 minutes.
And that's just that's going back to when I asked you about, you know, should somebody buy a used camera or a brand new one? How you said, you have to sit down and ask yourself or write down or whatever you have to do, you know, ask yourself, are you going to be taking landscape, you know, models or, you know, what kind of pictures are you wanting to take?
Mm-hmm. because that will determine which camera you're going to come up and get.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's going to come up and tell you what features can you use to advance, right, your business, if you're doing it for business, or your art.
And yes, and then that's where you get from the business side. Okay, if I'm doing, you know, portraits, headshots, models, you know, that will tell you, okay, kind of like, you know, the business side, you know, okay, I need to charge this much for it or this much. Or if you're doing landscaping, you know, you can submit it to a magazine, and if they publish it, you get so much for it, I guess. I don't know. I never got anything published. So, or if you're going to go to an art gallery or something like that, that will tell you, you know, that will kind of give you the direction of, you know, where to go for your photography and the business side as well.
It also comes up and helps you control what kind of gear you're going to get.
Yes, that too. I mean, go ahead.
Because a lot of people will buy a lot of gear starting off, right? And, for example, when I finally found out about insuring my equipment, I had to come up and tally everything that I've bought to get insurance for my lighting, for my flashes, for my lens, my cameras, and things like that. It was a sobering experience to find out that I spent approximately $17,000 in 2 years.
Wow.
You know, and after seeing that, it's like, okay, out of all this equipment, which is what I'm not using, and I find out one of the first lenses that I wanted to buy, because everybody was using it, is the lens that I least use. And I paid $2,000 for that lens, and all it's doing is collecting dust.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's people will think of, like, okay, can I use it for portraits? Yes, but my God, it's so heavy. You know, and what, I'm traveling with it.
What lens is it?
The 70 to 200.
Oh. Do you ever use the 50, what do they call it, the nifty 50?
Yeah, the 50 millimeter?
Yes.
I use the 50 millimeter, you know, when I want to take pictures at small picture, which is what your eyes would see, right? But mostly what I walk around with is a 24-105, right, which is a good general purpose lens. If I'm walking around, if I need to take a portrait of a person, I can do with that, right? Now, I also walk around with a 100 millimeter lens, right, the macro lens, and I use that for portraits because it gives the background, blurs out the background very well, And so those are the two lenses that I'm using most of the time. And the three lenses that I use for portraits would be the 24-105, the 100mm, and the 85mm, right? Because they have different apertures, right? The 24-105 is f4, the 100mm is 2.8, and the 85mm is 1.8, so it gives me options.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I got a 100 to 400 millimeter lens that I have from baseball games, right? The 70 to 200 that is so long. And the other lens that I have is an 1855 lens that I haven't touched in the last 7 years. Yeah. But the amount of money that you spend on gear without knowing what you're going to use for, you know, that's a waste of a lot of money.
Yeah. So, do you have any tips for anyone that's wanting to start doing photography or wanting to do, you know, get into the low light photography or any photography in general?
Okay. First tip would be invest in yourself. Educate yourself. Okay. Do not think that just going out and shooting, you're going to learn. Okay. if you want to do it that way, go with a purpose. Find a topic that you want to do. Let's say, I want to learn what apertures do. Then go and shoot and change apertures and continue to change apertures. Do not go expecting to get the perfect picture the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Get familiar with the equipment, right? Henceforth, the reason I'm saying invest in yourselves. Because if you can get a person that will do tutorials or a class that will teach you the basics of the camera, your photography is going to improve. Okay? Second, right? Find somebody that can mentor you. Or find somebody that needs an assistant and volunteer to be your assistant. Because then you're going to learn a lot more from watching what that person's saying. Right? My assistants always come and take a class with me. I always give them a class because I want them to understand how the lighting system is set up, why I put the lighting this way I put it, and they start visualizing. And 9 out of 10 times, when you get an assistant that understands what's going on, they can do a whole photo shoot
by themselves.
And I've done that before because I get a person that takes tutorials, one tutorials, right? And I've been told that they don't understand what they're getting for the tutorial. And then when the student decides to become an assistant, then everything that I taught them in the tutorial comes to fruition because they assist, they see, and when I believe that they're ready, I come up and tell them, it's time for you to do your shoot. And a lot of times they'll say, no, not really. And one day I just leave my camera at the house when I do a photo shoot. And I'm like, hey, I left my camera. You're going to have to shoot it. I'll be your assistant. You know, I put them on the spot. And then after they're done with the photo shoot and they see all the pictures, you know, then, you know, they're done. My training's done.
Yeah. I bet when you tell them that, they're almost like sweating. They're like, oh my goodness, how can you leave your camera at the house?
Oh no, they do. And everybody that has done it with me have all passed the certified photographers certification from the PPA.
Really?
Yeah.
That is awesome. So, well, Mr. Ellis, I do appreciate you coming on here and, you know, doing this interview. Do you have any social media or your website where people can go see more of your work?
Yes. As a matter of fact, they can go to, it's spelled with an F, photosbyalexs.com. And that's my website where they can see some of my work. And I'm going to spell it out, LEXSTGOPHOTO in Instagram.
Okay. Now, if anybody is listening, if y'all do get a chance, y'all got to go see his photos. He sent me a couple of them on Facebook Messenger, and they are amazing. So,
if any of the listeners have any questions about photography or equipment, or that they're having problems with some of their images, let me know. You know, just send me a message. And I'll come and sit down and talk to you, and that'll be no problem. Now, I do photo, you know, photo tutorials one-on-one. I do from camera 101 all the way up to studio lighting. So depending on the topic that you choose, right? And depending on the topics, we'll come up and discuss. But if you're coming up and telling me that you want lighting, expect me to come up and ask you a couple questions to find out where your foundation is at. Because if you're lacking in the foundation, I would recommend what you need to do, because once you start with, if your foundation is shaky, your lighting is going to be very shaky too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But do I honestly, like I said before, invest in your education. If you want the skills and everything, invest in your education. It has more value than you.
Exactly. So, well, Mr. Alice, I do appreciate you coming on.
I really appreciate the honor of you coming on and letting me come on to here.
And it's been amazing being able to talk to you about photography and everything, man. So, I do appreciate it, sir.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Man, it is awesome to be able to talk to these wonderful, fabulous photographers. From, you know, talking to the fashion photographer to the kids, doing kids photography to doing, you know, just everything. To the low light, what you just heard. Like always, I'm going to leave y'all with a quote. When I have a camera in my hand, I know no fear. I'm going to say that one more time. When I have a camera in my hand, I know no fear. That's just like how Alex was talking about when he went to the Renaissance Festival. And he would go up to people and just, hey, can I take your photo? You know, have your camera out, you know. But just asking, has no fear about asking, can you take a photo? Sometimes your anxiety and, you know, nervous gets you. But when you hold that camera in your hand, you should have no fear. Don't be afraid to go up to somebody and ask them to take your picture. Do it politely, but don't have any fear. You should be able to go up there. Hello, you know, my name is so-and-so. I do photography. I was wondering if I can take your picture. The worst thing that they can say is no. So, I hope y'all enjoyed this interview. And I will catch y'all on the next one. So, if y'all don't forget to like and subscribe. And follow on Instagram and I was about to say Twitter, but Facebook, and I'll catch y'all next time.